This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, welcome everyone. Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. It always happens, Trace. It always happens. We had this incredible dialogue before we even turned on the recorder, sat down here at the table, and damn it, we should have recorded it because it was so good. Welcome. We're at the we're at Starr Community College and the Napa EV Ready Training Center for all of the U.S., right, Bill?
Absolutely. And welcome on behalf of all of us at Napa. The first time I believe we've had you down to this facility, yeah. A full-fledged EV training facility attached to a bona fide college. I mean, it is, and I'm sure we had the conversation a little bit earlier, how impressive the first view, the college, the room and everything.
It's beautiful. So, yeah, it's beautiful. I'm envious. I'm on a advisory board up in Buffalo of our community college, and this is a beautiful, gorgeous place. So it was back at Vision, I believe, Bill Weaver from Napa trainer in charge of this beautiful new EV Ready training center here in Canton, Ohio. He says to me, did you ever do an episode on mentoring? And I said, yes. He says, did you ever do one with the student, and the mentor and the mentee? And I go, no, I really have never done that. He goes, well, since you're coming to Canton, can I bring my mentor of many, many years, Jim Druzek?
Dessert.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that right. Okay. As I think Dave just told me a little bit ago, say the word dessert and right. I'll get it. Dessert. You've got an incredible background. I started to hear NASCAR. I heard all this really cool stuff and you guys starting to share. And I thought it would be incredible for many reasons. The listener to be able to relate to the fact that they may already have a mentor and maybe that relationship isn't as good or as strong and figure out, hey, wow, you guys are doing something cool and I'm not. And let me share this with my mentor and blossom that relationship, or to have some young people reach out because there's an awful lot of incredible people in this industry that I believe would want to mentor, but they don't want to push themselves on anyone. And I'm not sure that the younger people, and I'm not saying younger for the reason that they're not as smart, but the opportunity to learn from our senior state's high wisdom people is off the charts right now in our industry because there are so many great, ready to retire, wanting to share wisdom and knowledge people in our industry that just need to be asked, would you mentor me? How did it start, Bill? How did you get the idea? Or did you see this fledgling guy, Jim, and say, I got to straighten this man out?
Yes, we had to straighten him out. That's for sure.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it is. And it's an open book, Carm. Honestly, I'm going to let him go on about it. But while I go ahead and compose myself, I got to tell you, and I've told you guys this privately, I wouldn't have anything in life. It wouldn't have been for my mentor. I don't know what he saw. I don't know why he did it. But as I sit here, the older I get, and I'll get squeaky about it because it's very emotional for me.
Sure.
My mentor provided everything to me. He provided the background. He provided the knowledge. All I had was a work ethic. And I had to be taught that also. And I will tell you, in hindsight, I probably was not worth mentoring when we first met. I have a lot of personality traits that you guys are well aware of, and they're tamed down from when I was younger.
How'd you do that, Jim?
It was hard, but
it came in time. It was a heavy lift, huh?
Oh.
How frustrated were you when you saw this raw piece of clay? It was a raw piece of clay, right?
There was times I think the way I felt, the FBI could have got my fingerprints out of his neck. But you know what? I look back, and you know, Bill and I were talking, but I do look back when he first came to work for me. He was out of control. But then as time went on, things changed. And then I seen a lot in Bill that I didn't see in former employees. He grasped things really, really good. And, you know, it's like anything. You start at the bottom. You don't start at the top and work your way down. You start at the bottom, work your way up. And we just kept going. And he just kept advancing. And it came very good.
So there was a lot you needed to teach him about his job.
Oh, yeah, that all come in time.
But you also had to teach him some people skills, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Jim taught me how to be a man.
Wow.
He taught me responsibility. He taught me how to be punctual. He taught me how to give. And the reason I do what I do now is I have a burden to pay back what was given to me it's hard to talk about sometimes because I look back. I came from a very, very rough area in the inner city of Cleveland. I would have been basically the same, stuck in that environment, going down a terrible road. There are just pieces of information. We talked about it this morning. He told me one time as a young man, you know, you are who you run with. Things like that stay with you.
You had to pull him up and out.
Yep.
But you also realized, I think you mentioned it, he had the work ethic, and you realized that your effort would have hopefully paid off.
Oh, yeah. And he was a very good learner. He absorbed everything. He just didn't blow it off like, oh, okay, whatever. He listened. He listened a lot. And I seen that. And I just kept pushing more. You know, as he advanced, okay, you want to do this, you want to try that, whatever. And he just kept improving. And it was fantastic.
So you owned a transmission shop?
Yes, yes.
You're retired now.
Oh, yeah. I've been retired for years now.
For years now. And when you brought him in, I mean, did he just walk in, answered an ad? How did the relationship start?
You know what? I can't remember. It was so long ago. So,
do you remember, Bill?
I needed a job, and there was a contact that had worked with him at the time. And I think I was maybe 16 or 17. Mm-hmm. It's not something I talk about all the time. I did go back and get my GED and completed my education, but I was a high school dropout.
Mm-hmm.
I was put into an environment of public schools that did not feel safe, that did not feel challenging. And I was in the automotive field at a gas station doing some light repair, and the opportunity came to go apply at the transmission shop. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. I think that might have been one of the first technology specialists that we had in the automotive industry, because no matter what you could do on a car, it seemed like that transmission was always taken to the specialist.
Yeah. I find we can talk about transmissions here later in the show, but to have this young man walk in your place, what were you checking a box just hiring a laborer, or did you see something immediately inside of Bill?
No, originally, you know, it's like anything. If there's an opening, you let him, you know, come on, work for me, and let's see what you can do.
Was there ever a time, Jim, that you said, this kid's got to go, and then you said, but I see some light?
No, not really.
No? Okay.
Not really.
No. You sure?
Well, there's times I was a little livid.
Well, there's an honest answer.
There was a good friend of his, well, that worked for, but it's still a friend of ours, but anyhow, I remember having to be St. Patty's Day. Anyhow, Bill and Ed went to lunch, and then hour goes by, hour and a half, where the heck are these guys at? I get a phone call. They're downtown at the parade. You kidding me? The guys are fired. You know?
But anyhow. You fired him? You really?
No.
Okay.
But
you wanted to.
Well, I yelled, you're fired.
Honestly, I think we were fired five or six times during our run together.
And so he just kept ignoring the firing thing.
Yeah.
And he just kept coming back.
They knew that I needed them, so they could get away with some stuff.
You really didn't know it was mentoring at the time.
No, I didn't. You know, to be honest with you, I didn't realize it. And to me, like, okay, there's a person with potential, and we'll just keep advancing him and see how far he goes. And he became a very good builder, very meticulous. I could go into stories about that between builders. You know, a good one from a so-so builder or whatever.
What's the traits, Jim? What do you see?
A person is meticulous, that when they do it, like when they rebuild a transmission, they don't overlook anything. And they make sure everything is perfect when they do it. And that's what I was wanting, because I used to stress, I says, you know what? The thing is, I says, if we can't find time to do it right the first time, how are we going to find time the second time? And I says, if we have to wait for a part, we're waiting, because I want the job to go out and stay out.
With Bill's personality, and I've gotten to know you over the last couple of years, he is a gregarious talker, trainer,
oh, yeah,
teacher. I can't believe he was meticulous on top of all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Today, are you still extremely meticulous?
It's a trait that serves, and it'll serve all technicians from here on out very well. Being ordered, being meticulous, paying attention to your surroundings, just all of it. Looking at the way that a washer comes out, trying to figure out why they did it this way. Why was this put here? Why is this tang on this bearing? It starts out with having, you know, a child that will take all of his toys apart just to see how it works. and then finding a mentor that can explain to you,
yeah,
why does this thing have bubbles on it? Why is it cut this way? Why is there a radius on this edge? Help me understand why somebody did it this way. And then I can learn how to spot deficiencies in future projects, in anything that I touch. If you teach a mentee how to think, not what to think.
Yeah, I got to stop you for a point, because it's so critical in a mentor-mentee relationship that the mentor teaches the why and the how, to your point, okay? Did you feel back in the day that you were teaching the how, but did you explain why this has to be done?
Oh, yeah.
Before Jim even knew he was really filling the most perfect mentor role, it's almost like you were a natural mentor.
Well, you know what? Bill was never shy about asking questions.
Okay.
And he would ask me a question. Well, this is why we're going to do it this way. This is what we're going to look for. You may think it looks good. This part's good, but the part is actually bad. This is the process that you go through. And then, you know what? That's how you make a good, like he was a rebuilder. That's how you make a good rebuilder. He knows the difference between a bad part, a good part. It worked out very well. But, you know, at that time, I didn't know that I was a big mentor. It's just that I was teaching him how to do it and do it right.
You had no idea how you were shaping this kid's life.
Not really. And we became, I mean, even, you know, he left my employment to advance himself, which I've never had a problem with that, with any of my employees. If they wanted to advance, do something else, they go ahead and do it. But I'm just blown away at how he has excelled in the years.
When he left you, Jim, you probably knew that he was destined for some greatness, because you gave him the gift.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Because you know what? At one time I said, oh, he ain't that smart. And then I realized, yes, he is. Very smart.
Interestingly, that Jim learned from this too.
Oh, he could teach me now.
It's a very Yoda moment, right?
A Yoda moment.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like there's a movie scene where Yoda looks at Luke and he says, you know, one of the biggest burdens of being a teacher is we are what they grow beyond. And man, does that hit home.
Yeah.
It just does, because that's my goal. My goal is the same as what he did for me. Give me the knowledge and let me run with it and see if I can learn more, accumulate more, and distribute that knowledge more. We've had this conversation, and I don't even know if he realizes it, but another friend of mine, a mentor who has passed away, I talked to his son one time, and he explained to me that his dad loved when I came around. And I'm like, God, you know, I used to almost be annoyed getting parts from your dad, because I had to stand there and get a 20-minute lesson about how this hydromatic plant burned down and this had a leather seal in it. We're talking about Lenny Bade here.
Oh, yeah.
So Lenny would give you his history of the part before you were able to buy it. You had to be deemed qualified to buy the part. Lenny was a mentor of mine, and I realized talking to his son that I helped him out, because those stories weren't just Lenny filling time. That was unloading his burden of knowledge. And that's what Jim did for me. He unloaded his burden of knowledge so I could carry it for a while. And now it's my turn to unload my burden and give it to the next generation.
That's just way too powerful.
Oh, it
is. Unloading your burden of knowledge.
So you're helping your mentor as much as your mentor's helping you. I can remember times he has two beautiful daughters. My memories of walking them up Lorraine Avenue to the cigar store to get a bag of chips. And we used to work a lot of Saturdays. And we had this conversation too. Working Saturdays was normal when I came up. We did alignments on Saturdays. I so look forward to having the girls there and getting soda pop and chips. And then we would go up to a local hole-in-the-wall tavern and get a Hollywood burger and a Coke. And those are some of the fondest memories.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good times. Damn good times.
Saturdays were a lot of fun, especially after work. We'd go eat lunch. I can remember another good friend of ours, Brian. And we'd sit there at the Hollywood, and we'd be eating a burger and that. And then the TV would come on. They would have Godzilla on us, all like that.
Well, you know, 50s monster movies we had. Just the weirdest Saturdays, but they were so cool.
Yeah.
And those are the mentoring times that had to do about learning about life and being a man and respect for one another. And going back to the daughter's things, I remember times, the first engine I ever rebuilt in a car that I bought, he would take his Saturdays and he would stay and show me how to do it. there are things that this man did for me that just did not have to be done, way beyond work, way beyond getting paid for it. I told you I was from a, we'll say, a fatherless home when I got married. This man stood in. He was my dad when I got married. He's been been in my life the whole time since he became a mentor.
You talked about Yoda, and it just reminded me. Would you please write this down, Tracy, that we need to do a Yoda-ism show?
I think there's a lot of us, and we should do it for May 4th, right?
And now I have to tell you, to your point, if you go back and you watch those first three episodes and you hear the Yoda, the Yoda wisdom, you have to stop for a moment and you have to just let it sink in and realize how brilliant. And I mean, it was almost Bible-ish storytelling coming from Yoda.
They're all just words.
Right.
Until you actually think about it.
That's right. Yoda-isms. Will you come on and do that with me?
Oh, you know I'd love to. You know I'd love to start writing them down now.
Let's do that, because it's still enough of us out there that, well, Star Wars is played probably every day on some kind of streaming channel, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like I imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
May the Force right around the corner, and it's Star Wars Day, so.
Yeah. You remember the first time you watched Star Wars?
Actually, episode? I grew up in rural Pennsylvania, and when movies came out, it was probably about 3 months after it came out, but it was a big deal to go to a movie when I was a kid. So I remember going to Kentucky Fried Chicken before the movie, watching the movie. I remember the ride home. It was a big nerd. I mean, I'll admit it. You guys all know that. We talked about
it. Do you remember,
all the time.
Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to guess you were maybe 30-ish something?
Probably.
Okay. Where were you?
Working. 30?
Yeah, but when you saw Star Wars for the first time, do you remember?
No, I don't.
You don't remember?
No, it was a long time ago.
I do. I have this most incredible memory. Did I ever tell you this story? You've heard it, right? I'm talking to Tracy. Of course, I couldn't do any of this without her. She's producing and picking the video shots here because we're on YouTube, everyone. Carm Capriotto, YouTube. Oh, by the way, thank you all so much for your support and for listening, and to our great partners that we have. I was in the Guard, had the weekend off at the, I think, my first summer camp in Watertown, New York. And I heard that there was this movie complex. So I got a taxi, or I can't remember. No, I had my car with me. I drove to it, and there was this thing called Star Wars, and I went in and I watched it. No cell phones at the time. Premiere year, it came out. I walked out of the theater. I found a payphone. I called Ann. I says, the first thing we're going to do when I come home, I'm going to take you to a movie. It's called Star Wars. And she goes, are you kidding? No. And I said, trust me, honey. And so that was my memory of it. So I saw it twice in like within a week.
It was awesome. It was a space Western fairy tale, right? Yeah, it was like, wow, this is so cool.
Let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. In the world of auto repair, every shop has its unique rhythm and challenges. At AutoFix Auto Shop Coaching, they understand that one size does not fit all. That's why we offer personalized business coaching, tailoring our advice to meet your shop's specific needs. Transform your operations with strategies and tools to streamline your workflow, reduce waste, and skyrocket productivity. And when it comes to the numbers, we've got you covered. Our financial management guidance helps you master your finances from cash flow to profit margins, ensuring your revenue grows stronger every day. AutoFix Auto Shop Coaching, empowering your shop to achieve more. Visit us at autoshopcoaching.com. Transform your team with today's class, where automotive training is easy, quick, and fun. Just 5 minutes a day on our app can eliminate hours of looking up forgotten information later. It's perfect for technicians, advisors, and managers alike. Keep critical knowledge fresh and top of mind, ensuring your team operates at peak efficiency. Today's class is impactful, accessible from anywhere, and a bit of fun too, and we're not talking about after-hours pizza either. For training that gets results, turn to todaysclass.com.
Mentors, experience, trusted advisors, they advise and train people over time. I mean, that's unbeknownst to you, unbeknownst to both of you, you guys were doing that. And so I'm hearing the story about the time you've spent and then he left. But how often did he ever come back to the well after he left you?
Oh, that's hard. Man, I don't recall.
For you? Technical advice, I wouldn't say that I go back to the well. As a mentee, once I left, he'll always be my lifelong friend. But when I chose to leave his business, even though I'm sure he would have gladly done anything I asked of him, I didn't feel that it was correct for me to leave somebody's business and continue to ask them to impart that knowledge.
But what about the life skills that you wanted to talk about?
Knowledge.
Okay.
Wisdom is something different.
Thank you. Okay, let's talk about that.
So I no longer wanted his automotive knowledge. I didn't feel that I deserved it because I left. But okay. His life wisdom,
yeah,
he's a lifelong friend.
Right.
When his parents passed away, we were there. I mean, it's a family relationship. Is we cannot talk for 6 months and pick up a conversation like it had been a day before.
Right.
I have, you know, no reason to doubt that if any time I did call and needed anything, that he'd be right there for me doing everything that he could do. And that's a really good feeling to know, but it has to be reciprocal. I'm sure he understands that it doesn't matter when, where, or how. If you need something because of all that you've given me, then it's just a no-brainer. I'll do the best that I can to everything in my ability to make it happen for you.
Jim, did Bill become a better version of himself over all these years?
Oh, yeah.
How?
Oh, yeah.
How?
It's just hard to explain. He's just excelled. Like, unbelievable. Unbelievable. The knowledge this man's got now, like, wow. Oh, I'm sorry. For me, it's really hard to explain, but I mean, if you're in my shoes and you watch, like, how this man has grown up and just excelled through the whole industry, like, unbelievable. And I have a bunch of friends that, you know, the old farts, we all have breakfast on Friday. In fact, it's kind of funny.
Will that ever happen to me someday?
I hope so. I'm looking forward to that time. You should hear the stories and the things that these guys exchange over a breakfast with no hurry to go anywhere.
But I brag about Bill all the time. If somebody brings something up automotive, I said, I have an employee. And I says, well, he used to be my employee. He's just one of my best friends. And I says, my God, the intelligence that man's got, I said, I feel when we start to talk about something, I'm lost. I'm totally lost. But
wait a minute. Are you talking to him about all the new stuff today and the EVs and all the high-tech stuff that's on the cars?
I love it. I love
it. You love to hear about it, but you're blown away.
Oh, yeah. I love hearing about it. How does it work? Why does it work? You know, I have a 31 Model A. Anyhow, if you look at that car and what we got going today, what in that short period of time, look at how, I mean, it's just unbelievable how technology has just advanced. Even from when I retired, the transmissions, how they have totally advanced. I mean, I would be totally lost at first. The biggest problem with the transmission industry that we had back in the day is there was no schools out there. I had to pick up and read and read. It's the only way you could find out, you know, how does this work? How does that work? Why does it work?
Also part of my mentorship program. When you see, and this goes into everybody out there that's listening, if you want to know how to get your guys to take training and take it seriously, there was one person that showed me how to show up in the morning early before the public got there, open up the garage door, crack it open, turn on the exhaust fan, pull the cool air in with no phones ringing, and sit down and read a technical article. Yeah. Sit down and do a little bit of research before the day even started. It was those habits, those mentoring habits. Nobody ever told me to do it. I learned by watching the people that were successful, and that's what he did. He would show up early. He would get the research done. He would show me how to find it. Back in our day, not only weren't there classes, there was really, the internet didn't exist for us. If it was printed in a book wrong, it was in the book wrong forever.
Right.
If it never got printed in the book, it was never printed again. It was the amount of time that we spent doing research on simple problems, on simple processes, was incredible. Without what we have for information now, we wouldn't be able to do it. But going back to the mentor thing, the organization, showing somebody how to find your answers, it's really easy to tell somebody the answer you're looking for. Being a mentor means I need to show you how to go find it yourself.
That's the key. Let's make sure that we're clear on that. Don't become a mentor and teach people the wrong way. Oh, do it like this. Do it like this. I think struggle is a part of any person who's learning to be better at anything in life and or being a technology specialist, mechanical specialist. You got to fail forward somehow. And the mentor needs to be there to pick you up and to help you redirect.
I'm glad you brought up failure. We had that conversation about failure. Failure is an option. Failure's always been an option. Failure has been a mentor and a teacher of mine for as long as I can remember. Failure taught me how to walk. Failure taught me how to ride a bicycle. Failure taught me how to diagnose a car. And I don't look for failure all the time, but I do know somewhere behind me, failure is always standing, and it's become a motivation and a mentor along with the people that are physically in your life. That's how you learn and grow, making yourself uncomfortable, stepping out of that little box that you're in where you understand where all four walls are, your limitations. You don't really understand your limitations as a person, as a technician, or as a mentor until you start to make yourself uncomfortable.
Jim, did you try to catch him before he made a mistake, or did you let him fail a little bit?
I try to catch him before he made a mistake, but it's like anything. Everybody makes mistakes. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. And when you make a mistake, and then you go back and say, here's where I made my mistake. I'll never do that again. And that's part of the learning curve. Nobody's built the perfect rocket the first time. They blow up, don't they?
It's been going on a lot lately with Elon, huh?
But it's a learning curve. They're learning. I mean, the technology, even with those rockets, I'm just blown away at the rockets. That's my new thing now.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, I'm following Elon. Oh, I want to go to Mars with them. But anyhow, here.
Whoa.
No, first to the moon.
We can do a virtual podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah, first to the moon.
I want to be first in line with that.
A couple times, I don't normally make comments on stuff, but people make a comment, well, he just blew up another rocket. You know, they go, oh, what a jerk, this and that, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
One time I made a comment, I wrote, I said, you don't understand. You have to fail before you succeed.
Yeah.
And that's like in anything. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of times I tried stuff and it did work out. End up doing the job over again.
So when did you start in business?
I started turning wrenches in 1960,
okay.
Right out of trade school. But probably 1966.
Wow.
West 130th?
Yeah. West 130th.
I'm sorry. I'm only laughing because you have a steel trap brain, Billy.
He does.
Oh, you're
going to
love
this.
He does.
This man does not forget anything.
Do you remember buying auto parts from Kovaci Brothers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What did you say about Kovaci Brothers yesterday?
Yeah.
Your corporation at one time ended up buying them?
Yeah, the company I worked for, we bought Kovaci.
Oh, really?
Somewhere in the early 2000s, I think. And great team down there in Cleveland. I spent a lot of time in Cleveland with Chuck Rimmel, who was their general manager there. Oh, my
okay.
God, yeah.
So they had this place on 130th, and I was never in the building, but I lived in the area, and I can remember it being pointed out to me several times. It's back there by the water department, and then it was 71 you guys built the building on Lorain Avenue?
70.
So in 1970, they built a three-bay transmission shop, and it was added onto two times later for a couple bays here and then three bays up in front. Jim's partner was a very interesting individual. His name was Richard Giacchetti. He was a boxing promoter and trainer. So the whole time that I was being mentored by this guy, we also had people like, oh, let's see, who came through there? Iron Pryor came through there. Mike Tyson came through there. These guys would work out across the street at the gym, and then they'd send them to us to make sure that they didn't go get in any trouble. So Buster Douglas was washing cars for us. I used to take Iron Pryor home, and he'd hit on my ex-wife all the time. It was just,
Wow, there's a story.
Where I grew up, oh my goodness, Carm, just the stories that we could tell, and all of it was right around at these people that I found, and it was like it was normal for us. What are you doing today? We're going to drive down to Youngstown and put the Golden Gloves boxing ring up with one of the Giacchettis. We're going to watch the fights, and I'll be at the transmission shop tomorrow.
Yeah, because my partner, Richard, he's the trainer for Larry Holmes, heavyweight champion.
Jeez.
I remember when Larry Holmes first came into town, when he was nobody, and then he excelled. But
I love these stories.
These are stories I grew up with.
I just love these stories.
You heard the NASCAR stories,
yeah,
too,
and
right?
I was about ready to go there. Because as we, you know, we always shaking hands, meeting people, and then the conversation just flew. And I said, stop. We got to turn on the recorders. You were talking about NASCAR.
Yeah, my partner Richard and I, we raced NASCAR from 1967 to 1973. But then he got so involved with the fighters, he says, no more, doesn't have the time for it. Yeah, that was a completely different experience.
Who ran the shop while you were doing NASCAR?
I would only take off usually a week at a time. I don't remember back then exactly who took care of it, but most of the races were a week. Daytona was 2 weeks. So,
transmissions today, have you kept up at all?
No.
Oh, wait a minute. That was just too quick of a fast answer there. Oh,
2009, he was done.
Yeah, done.
Well, you got to remember, I turned wrenches all the way up to 2000. I closed the shop up in 2008. December 2008. So all those years I turned wrenches. No, I don't want nothing to do with it. I want to enjoy life.
You turned wrenches for 42 years, right?
Yeah.
You retired in, so 16 years you've been retired.
Yeah. And I don't know where it went to.
And you don't look a day over.
Well, I'm 83.
What's the secret? I'd like to take some of that stuff.
Well, my dad made it to 100.
No kidding.
Yeah.
83.
He had all his faculties. You can sit there and play cards with you.
They square danced until he was like 98.
Oh, mom and dad were, I totally forgot. Thank you.
High school sweethearts. I mean, the mentor part, Carm, the stories that this man has imparted into my life, just all of it. It's like.
So you got family from him, didn't you?
Yeah.
You watched it.
I tell you what, my mom and dad went ballroom dancing every Saturday night. To the point when he didn't drive, I drove him to the ballroom.
They took his car, but he was still dancing.
I had to take his car keys away. My dad had a small accident, then he had another one.
I hope never that she goes on a podcast in the road down the road and says, "You remember Carm, don't you? I had to take
his keys away."
I hope.
Yeah. Funny thing is, my mom was upset with me because I took the car keys. My mom didn't drive. She was upset because I took the car keys away. Like, oh, I remember that day. That wasn't a good day.
No.
So every time you get in front of a class, do you think of Jim?
I do what I do because of Jim. And Jim shared something with me a long time ago. Instead of being a transmission builder, he really wanted to be a teacher. He really wanted to do that.
Yeah, I did.
And I got to tell you, you did it. You did both because between Ed, myself, Tim Skettle, the amount of people that you enabled that are in business now, you did it.
I mean, a majority of them. And, you know, the things I look back at that I'm proud of, I mean, Billy and Eddie and Tim, all these guys. But there isn't one employee that if they walked up to me, we're friends all these years. Never, and no animosity whatsoever if they left for a better job, not a problem. You know what? I'm very proud of Bill. When he was teaching a class, it was in, what was the college? What's the college out there?
Lorraine Community College?
Yeah, Lorraine Community College. I couldn't think of it. But anyhow, I went to his class. When I sat there, in fact, it was like an employee reunion because Ed was there, Billy was there, who else was there? Jerry.
Jerry Dipple was there.
But anyhow, I sat there, and what really, really impressed me, when I sat there, and I'm looking around the classroom when Billy was teaching, there wasn't one person looking around. There wasn't a person on their cell phone. They were paying attention to Bill. Bill has that knack of getting your attention. he keeps your attention. That is a good teacher.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I know you're a talker. You're fluid. You're smart. It's easy to listen to him.
Exactly.
And he's so energetic. I think it's an incredible quality to have. No one wants to miss a word he's saying, I bet.
Exactly. And I was sat there and I says, he found his niche.
Yeah, yeah.
Teacher.
Jim, when he called you up and says, I'm going to become a trainer, what'd you think?
Good. Because Billy, like you say, Billy's got it perfect for being a teacher.
Billy.
He knows how to keep people's attention.
I got
to
start calling you Billy.
It's a term of endearment. You knew me when I was a child. Literally. What can I say about that? To have an adult in my life call me Billy.
Well, that's all I've ever known is Billy.
Yeah, you've always known him as Billy. But back, 16, 17 years old, right?
They used to call me Pee Wee. I was a tiny little skinny kid a long time
ago. What happened?
I don't know. Good life happened, I guess. But it's a lot of fun what I do. But I do it because of the people that gave to me. And it's really easy for me to stand up in front of somebody and impart knowledge to them because I've accumulated it and I just love to share it. And the ability to talk to technicians. I am not the same person if you take me to a corporate retreat or what you guys were doing yesterday over at that event over at the Cleveland Clinic. That is not my area.
Right,
and
right.
While I will still talk, that's not where I'm comfortable. But if you put me in front of a bunch of room of full of me, people that just want the knowledge, that want somebody, please just explain this to me in a way that I can understand it so I can move on and try to figure out what the next part of my diagnosis is going to be. That's the part that I really enjoy about what I do. And that was given to me from the mentors like Jim that have been around that would answer my questions and then take the time out of whatever they were doing just to stop what they were doing and make sure that I understood it. That's the gift.
You know what? And I agree, because Billy knows how to talk to guys that work on the cars every day, not to a bunch of scientists, whatever, or engineers, let's put it that way. Anyhow, it's just like back at one time I wanted to teach, but I didn't have the education, so I was out of the game. So I did the best I could. But that's where I think Billy's got it. He knows how to talk the talk to the person that's in the pits working on these cars that wants to learn something. This way, it makes their job easier. Let's put it that way.
It's interesting the way you talked about that he's doing what he was almost designed to do. Let's call it that he found his calling. Okay.
Exactly.
Are there enough people that have found their calling that you see sitting in your class that maybe are struggling and you say, this really isn't for them. They're struggling so much that there's people that have grown in our industry. They turned wrenches. They spent their time and now they're directors, they're trainers, people. I don't think there's a button to press or fingerprint to have that says you're really meant to do this. How do people find their calling? I guess that's my point.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, I know, isn't it?
I think it's there, and eventually it finds its way out. I don't know.
Wow.
Anybody explain it to me?
Eventually it finds its way out. But you got to almost be looking for it, too.
I think it's a lot like sailing. I think that there are times where the wind is going to be against you, but if you can figure out how to tack your boat and go against the wind to keep going in the direction that you want to go in, it's kind of important to keep your eye on the destination that you want to be at, knowing that the road may not go directly there. They're inside of you. You may not know what your calling is. I did not know that being a teacher would be so rewarding. In fact, repairing something, putting it back together, the satisfaction of 1,000 pieces in a transmission to work correctly or an engine to bring it back to life, that was very satisfying. But it also became, after a while, factory work. I mean, if I think about it, at times we were building 2 transmissions a day for 20 years. And it's like when you get to your 8,000, 9,000 unit that you've built, it's like, oh, this is just monotonous. It might as well be factory work at this point.
Yeah.
Getting out and teaching and sharing that experience, I think, is important. And all of you guys that are listening, you may not know that you can be a mentor or a teacher. You'll have to make yourself uncomfortable to figure that out and try it out. Do it for a community college.
Yeah.
get off your butt, go volunteer, find your local high school instructor and see if you can go do 30 minutes and tell them what you know about working on cars.
Yeah, perfect. My next question was, is how do we all become mentors? First of all, you're going to want to do it.
Right.
But you got to raise your hand. No one's going to come to you. Maybe this episode will change some of that. Maybe some of our younger people will look at the individual who they admire in the shop or someone they work with and says, hey, listen, I'm struggling over here. Would you mentor me in these particular situations? So number one, you got to volunteer. And number two, if you're a mentee and you want to look for a mentor, I think you just got to ask.
Yeah, I want everybody that's listening to do this right now. Call your mentor. Call them. Good relationship, bad relationship. You know who they are. Who helped you? Call them right now out of the blue and tell them what they did. Let's change the industry right now going forward.
Yeah.
If you got the phone call and somebody understood what you did for them, would you be more motivated to do it for somebody else?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need the old timers, the people that are my age, to reach out to the people like Jim that gave us what we needed to vocally tell them, thank you. And then maybe leading by example, we can get the younger guys to look to us, older, more senior technicians. And guys, it's no secret. Your body is going to give up. We have to come up with a plan to, as we have accumulated the knowledge in our knees and our legs and our hips are all getting wore out, there is still a vital need for that knowledge and that type of person in the shop. You have to morph yourself as a person, as a technician, as an automotive specialist into your next role. And you can't do it in a 3-month increment. You have to look ahead.
Brilliantly said. I'm going to give you the last word, Jim. Any encouragement for the people out there that just need a person like you in their younger life?
Well, there's got to be somebody in their life that they look up to. They got to go hook up and talk to them, get the advice from them. And like if you're in an automotive shop, and there's somebody that's really good there, they should make friends with them and they could help them. You know, I mean, you got to find your own way. I mean, I'll tell you what, there was times I wanted to give up. Believe me, I just like, I've had it. But then I'd sit back down. Next day, I'd go right back to work.
You wanted to give up because of all of Billy's comebacks?
No. You know, to tell you the truth, I don't remember any of his comebacks. I'll tell you one time.
Good for you.
Back in the day when we first started out, whatever work you could get, and we did a lot of work for used car lots. They wanted it yesterday, and they wanted to pay it 2 cents, and maybe three if you really pushed them. And anyhow, we were doing one. It was it wasn't Torque Flight. It was Torque Flight 6. And Billy was doing the transmission, and anyhow, the clutch drums would ring groove on them. And Billy says, I don't have one here for the Torque Flight 6 trans here. They had made an 8-cylinder, you know, like the small 8 and the 6-cylinder. And the only difference was one clutch and one steel. That was the only difference between the clutch drum. So Billy says, well, what am I going to do? And all we got is these 3 clutch drums. We'll use that. Well, we can't do that. This takes a 4. I said, Billy, that clutch drum, that steel, that friction is stupid. It don't know. When it shifts, it'll be fine.
Exact words. That clutch doesn't know where it lives. It knows it travels this far and it stops. Put the drum in the transmission.
It would be fun.
I love it.
And I said, that thing will go 50, 60,000 miles without a problem. And I'll never forget that.
Advice, trust in your mentor. And sometimes you just got to do if it feels uncomfortable.
But I am very, very proud of Bill. Is how he has advanced and just unbelievable.
Good
you know,
for you.
I got to tell you a story one time. This is going back years ago. There was 2 or 3 other teachers. We went to breakfast in Strongsville. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you want to go along? I said, sure. Listen to you guys talk. Well, these guys started talking about operating systems in the cars that they were working on. After about 5 minutes of conversation, I was totally lost. I just let them talk. They might as well have been talking about rocket science. I went, whoa, way above my pay grade. But see, here's the thing. You got to remember, too, when we first started out, like the business, we only had to deal about 2 things, hydraulics and mechanical problems. And then electronics come. And that was a whole different ballgame. That's what made it a lot harder to do diagnostics. But you got to go with the flow.
You persisted. You read.
Oh, I read a lot.
Yeah.
Read a whole bunch. And you know what? When I retired I visited a few shops, guys that I knew, but, you know, never had the time to go there. And I was always grasping for more knowledge. Where do I get it? And I thought I was, like, you know, not as smart. I wasn't the sharpest tack in the box, but I was just grasping. But I went there, and I couldn't believe how some of the shops there, I mean, I was a rocket scientist compared to them. And that's the thing. Today we need classes to teach.
Yeah. 42 years wrenching, 16 years retired. Jim Zirk, did I say that right?
Yes, Zirk.
Right. Zirk, glad to have you here. Billy.
Yeah, now you're going to start.
Well, I could go further, but I won't do it.
Bill Weaver.
Not on the podcast.
Billy Weaver.
Mr. Weaver.
Mr. Weaver, to you, thank you for the whole idea of this whole mentorship podcast by bringing on a mentor. I encourage anyone else who would love to come on and tell the mentor story with your mentee mentor. It'd be great. It'd be great. And thanks for inviting us down here to Stark Community College at the Napa EV Ready. You got a beautiful section here. We just can't wait to have some fun here today. We're going to be back for an entire week in June. We're looking forward to that, having some fun. So thank you all for being here. Thanks, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.